You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to the 24th episode of Something's Brewing. How is everyone doing? Dan, my man, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Corey, my story. I should have thought of that before. I didn't know you were going to do a rhyme.
Well, from now on, just think Corey. Of it. I'm doing rhymes from now on.
Are you, you busting rhymes?
Yep. Maybe right, I should have told
fine.
You that.
That's fine.
So, this episode brought to you by LA Vista Cleaners, now with two locations in the greater Los Angeles area. If you haven't met Fernando at LA Vista Cleaners, you got to go down there. He understands customer service better than anyone, and so does his mom.
Okay,
so,
wait, no, hold it, stop. Where are these two locations? Because I know one is on one is in beautiful Westchester.
Yep, on Manchester, and the other one is over off of like La Cienega.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Good for them. I did not know that. I'm gonna go literally. I got to go there today or tomorrow. I swear.
Yeah,
I'm not.
From now on, you got to go there. For the record, going backwards, I felt as if a couple things I want to bring up. First, we said that we weren't going to go this long without putting another
we did say
podcast
that.
out, but we did it again.
And so then what happened?
I don't want to feel like we lied to anyone, but I've been trying to get in here and trying to get into studio,
right.
But it just hasn't worked. And
right.
We're going to keep this up because I'm going to go on vacation for a couple weeks, international travel. We're going to have some great stories,
right?
Jamaica and Scotland. So we're probably not going to have another one for a decent amount of time. But all the top
shows... You're telling me this now?
All the top shows...
We just had a pre-production meeting for like an hour. Oh, Dan, by the way, I'm going to be...
But you know all the top shows, the talent takes time off.
Well, yeah. Maybe not 24 episodes in, but sure.
All right.
Where are you going?
We're going to Jamaica with the whole family,
right.
And then Scotland. Thanks for listening.
Nice.
Should
I be listening?
Okay. I'm doing the family thing in Jamaica, and then I'm going on a golf trip to Scotland. But one other thing for the record. So when we did do the last episode, at the very end, I remembered it was Mother's Day, and I did not give enough credit to where credit is due. I just sort of threw in the Mother's Day thing. So I wanted to say thank you again to my mom for being a fantastic mother. And I want to say thank you to my wife again for being an unbelievable mother as well. And my mother-in-law also. And then I also want to say thank you to my mom. She was in town and there's nothing I hate more than pulling weeds.
Really?
And they bother me.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to get into other things that you can do to change your life at the end of the show.
Weeding is one of them.
And I came home from work and my mom had pulled all of the weeds.
Oh my
gosh,
house. Really?
And there was a lot of them.
Wow.
Then not like terrible, but they were just bothering me. And I drove in the driveway.
Yeah.
I'm like, who the hell pulled all the weeds? And I was thankful, but then at the same time I thought, but I was going to get so much joy out of finally doing that.
Oh, you were.
But I said, you know what?
But you were going to.
I'm
going to
go past that and say thank you.
Exactly.
So I wanted to say that. And another thing we talked about.
Oh, wait, before you press on.
Yeah.
Hi, Mrs. Paws.
Yeah.
I talked to your mom the other day.
Yeah.
It was very nice to see her.
Yeah. So and she's a big fan of yours.
Is she? Aww.
So all right. So another thing I wanted to mention. We talked about the draft in Nashville being so over the top. And having so many people, the NFL draft.
Sure.
A little piece of nugget that I found out from our good friend Drew Bennett. there was also the Nashville Marathon at the same time.
That would complicate things a little
bit. Right. So that was another reason why there were so many people.
Right.
So I just want to throw that in there. Oops. We also forgot to talk about the Kentucky Derby controversy. So as a reminder, you don't remember this, Dan, but I did want to get it out because I'm a big, you know, I like horse racing. I've been to 6 Kentucky Derbies and whatever. So there was a controversy that Maximum Security won the race, but then got disqualified for the first time ever.
Uh-oh.
That the winning horse was disqualified. So actually Country House was actually declared the winner. I bring that up because Maximum Security...
I'm sorry. I love horse names.
Right. Yes. They're great. I mean, that's
horse names are the best.
And if you don't know the jockey or the trainer, I pick the best name.
Right.
So, which is the worst way to gamble, right, by the way. But it's inevitable. Every time I'm at the track, I always pick a horse that I just love the name.
Yeah.
So anyway, Maximum Security got disqualified because it cut off the path of War of Will.
Mm-hmm.
So War of Will won the Preakness, the second leg of the Triple Crown.
Gotcha.
Which was also, so it was, you know, I don't agree with the controversy, but War of Will is a good horse and will most likely win the Belmont. I'm just calling that out right now. So,
okay.
And we move on. So, favorite number 24 of all time.
Oh, yes.
It was a close, I almost went with Kobe Bryant, but if I went with Kobe Bryant, my wife would have been really mad at me because she hates Kobe Bryant.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't need to get into all that. But so I didn't go with Kobe.
Well, Kobe's a little expected to.
Yeah.
Right. Now, right?
Yeah.
He's a little.
So, but I realized that there is a clear number one for me from my childhood, and that is Ken Griffey Jr.
Oh.
Do you remember him?
Yeah. I remember that name.
Prolific home run
hitter.
Yeah. Had a fantastic home run swing, beautiful swing. He's not a big guy. Mm-hmm. So anytime you can see a guy that hit 630 home runs, it would put him on 7th all time on the home run list.
Holy cow.
You know, he wasn't a big physical guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, like but his swing was just beautiful. Super athletic in center field. Thirteen time all star, American League MVP in 97, Gold Glove Awards, into the Hall of Fame in 2016, a first ballot Hall of Famer, by the way, with 99.3% of the vote. He seemed like an all around pretty nice guy. He did have a little, in reading for research for the show, though, which I did not know, he had a little bit of controversy towards the end of his career, which I forgot. He retired basically at the beginning of the season. He said he was going to play. He basically didn't show up for the next game and drove from half across the country to his from like Washington to Florida and has his agent, you know, send in the paperwork.
Wow.
You know, the manager shows that he's like, I had no idea until like 2 hours before the game started that Ken Griffey Jr., future Hall of Famer,
right,
just retired.
Yeah.
And then there was another thing about he tried to actually commit suicide when he was 18.
Really?
Yeah, because his dad was a famous baseball player, and he cited that he took 277 Tylenols. Okay, and by the way, how do they?
Oh, my.
You know, 277, right?
Yeah, where do you get that number? Did they count them afterwards?
So, yeah, I mean, you know, you can't believe everything you see, read in Wikipedia, but whatever.
But how does 277 Tylenols not kill you?
I know. He's a good athlete.
Right? He's got a good kidney or whatever it is.
So he cited issues with his father. I imagine his father probably, if we had Ken Griffey Jr. on the show, he might point out that, you know, sometimes you don't get along with your parents.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ken Griffey Jr., favorite number 24 of all time.
Awesome.
So excited to talk about some things today on the show. But before we get to all that, we're going to do a quick sports recap. In the NHL Stanley Cup, as we've talked about before, the St. Louis Blues are still in it against the Boston Bruins. However, they got crushed last night 7-2. Which is a high-scoring hockey match.
Wow, yeah.
And the Bruins are up 2-1. So I'm hopeful that the Blues can come back. But
yeah,
from my analysis so far, here's what I've seen. The Bruins seem like they're the better team, but the Blues are playing very aggressively,
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm,
really going after them, like
right,
bringing the hit to
sure
them.
Sure.
And I feel like they're running a little out of gas.
Yeah.
I think the Bruins potentially are more talented. But the Blues are running out of gas. They're going too hard. And if they don't win game 4, then I fear the Bruins will win the series. But if the Blues win game 4,
mm-hmm,
I promise you they win the series.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm rooting for the Bruins.
Okay.
So you and I are going to have like an in-studio rivalry.
This is something
rivalry.
We should be rooting for the Bruins. I don't
know
why
I'm rooting for the Bruins. Because this, exactly.
I appreciate that.
Maybe this time of year we should be a hockey show.
Well, that's the whole point, Dan. There's no UCLA football to talk about.
No.
Okay, so NBA.
Talk about it.
So it is in the finals now. Game two is going to happen this afternoon. But the Western Conference Finals between the Golden State Warriors and the Portland Trail Blazers was pretty cool to see the Curry brothers playing against each other, I will admit. And we've talked about Steph Curry before, but mm-hmm. watching the dynamic between him and his brother, and you know, his parents are all over the TV, and I was a big fan of Del Curry's back in the day, believe it or not. It's like I vividly remember him playing for the Hornets. Yeah. Great outside shooter. I like the dynamics, even though it's a little much with the little kid that's always around. There's his daughter. I'm becoming more of a fan. That's all I'm saying. But let's talk about the finals so far. So the Toronto Raptors, won game one. Now, Kevin Durant's not playing, so they're able to double team Steph Curry a little bit more. The athleticism for the Raptors is showing. We talked about many shows ago, we saw the Raptors. I was at the game, sitting behind the bench watching Raptors play the Brooklyn Nets.
Yes.
And I talked about how great Kawhi Leonard looked like physically.
Yeah.
Well, he's playing fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you seen some of the controversy with Drake, the rapper, though?
What? Not recently,
so Drake the rapper.
Canada's Drake the rapper.
Right, and he's also self-pronounced as the largest Raptors fan. The biggest fan ever.
Oh, congratulations, Drake.
So he's on the court. He's been, like, giving back massages to the coaches.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he almost got it.
All right, come on, take it down.
Yeah, right? Like, come on, you don't own the team.
No.
Okay.
No.
So just slow your roll, back up a little bit.
Right. That's
you know, and just stay in your area.
Yeah.
Okay. So now he's starting to talk shit to Draymond Green, and Draymond Green, they're like, you had a scuffle with Drake after the game. And Draymond's like, scuffle? is that what you call a scuffle?
Yeah.
Like, no. It's not a scuffle. All right. There's nowhere near a scuffle. And if it was a scuffle.
Yeah, trust me.
Trust me. Okay, so.
But Drake has no official ties with the team.
No,
whatsoever,
but he's all
right?
over it, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's all over it. So just want to mention that. And so game two again tonight. The Raptors look great. I can't imagine they win the whole series, but it's been interesting to watch. By the way, I did notice this, which hopefully, well, never mind. You didn't see it because you didn't watch it. But. So two critical movies and then the third one. So like the first three commercial breaks of the NBA finals, because the NBA finals are very highly watched.
Sure.
The sporting event. And there's seven of them. Like the Super Bowl is only one, right? The first three commercial breaks started off with a movie preview.
Oh, gotcha.
The first one was the new Quentin Tarantino movie. And you're obviously a Quentin Tarantino fan, right? I love Quentin Tarantino's movies.
Yeah.
And here's why I'm so excited about the new movie. Do you saw what it's about, right?
Yes, I did.
About stuntmen in Hollywood in the 70s?
Yes.
Okay. So when it comes out, I don't remember when it's going to come out, but when it comes out, we're going to bring on. So one of the, my first, remember we talked weeks ago about becoming a real adult?
Yeah, sure.
So before I became a real adult, I rented a room from a stuntman. An ex-Cal gymnast, and all of his buddies from Cal Gymnastics that they won a national championship at Cal. There, two of them are super successful stuntmen.
Wow.
Yeah, like one of them is Spider-Man. In the Spider-Man movies.
Oh, my gosh.
All the stunts, yeah. So we're going to bring on one. I'm going to reach out to both of those guys and see which one's available. Because
that's awesome.
I think it would coincide perfectly,
God,
don't
it'd be
you
great.
Think?
Great, yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
and then
so good.
The second commercial break was another Terminator movie.
All right, what are we up to now? I really don't even know.
I don't either.
Five, six, ten?
But Sarah Connor is back.
Yeah, the real Sarah Connor,
and apparently, from the preview, it looks like she's going to go back to her as a kid. I wasn't totally following it,
yeah,
but she's the most critical person. And then they show Arnold come out of. You saw Arnold in the news lately? Did you see Arnold get drop kicked when he was doing an autograph signing in South
Africa?
Yes,
I did, actually.
That was actually pretty funny footage.
Oh, well.
If you haven't seen the footage of Arnold Schwarzenegger getting drop kicked in the back by some random dude in Africa,
right.
You got to hit pause right now and go search.
Let's do that. Oh, so someone just walked in the studio.
Hi.
Hey, Arnie. How you doing, buddy?
This is me, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I love
it. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking. So I can't wait to see that. The third movie is Secret Life of Pets 2. I liked Secret Life of Pets 1, and that's a kids movie. I know I'm changing tunes.
Oh, that's right.
Bit,
no, you have kids in that demographic.
I sure do.
Yeah. See, I no longer do.
You can just mark it down for $100 at the movies right now.
Basically, yeah. It's been spent.
Okay, so going to be excited to watch Quentin Tarantino.
Oh,
and I will
God.
Watch Terminator, but I'm not going to go to the movies to see it. But I will go watch the Quentin Tarantino movie.
In the Quentin Tarantino preview that I saw, somebody's playing Bruce Lee. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And I was a big Bruce Lee fan in my youth. And whoever's playing Bruce Lee is so dead on as Bruce Lee that I'm like fixated on this Bruce Lee guy. Oh, the movie looks so good.
And I like he just takes his time he's methodical. And,
And
none of his movies are nowhere near, no one would say, oh, Quentin Tarantino remade something.
No.
Not a chance.
No.
Except for the Kill Bills Volume 1, 2. And I think was there only one or two of those?
There were two of those.
Okay, but it was still, he didn't steal an idea.
No.
Right.
No. No, in fact, we just watched those, my son and I.
Yeah.
He liked them.
I love
them. You gotta. Pulp Fiction, please.
So, two more sports things before we move on to a little more pop culture. I feel like we snuck in a little pop culture, but
we did,
it hit me because of the commercials during the finals.
Exactly.
All right. We've talked about Liverpool.
Liverpool.
So, Liverpool.
Are we talking about football?
Yes. So, Liverpool won
the
UEFA championships yesterday.
UEFA?
Yes. And one of my life mentors and very good friends was at the match in Madrid.
Really?
Yeah.
How was that?
He hasn't called me back yet.
He's still recuperating.
Yeah. But it was a little boring of a game, but they had Imagine Dragons. Like, if you don't think, we've talked about how big soccer is internationally.
Sure.
Right? And if you don't know that, then you just don't know sports. But this is the first time I actually have been watching all of the UEFA tournament, and they started it out with a full-on concert by the Imagine Dragons.
Literally the group was there.
Hundreds of people on the field with a full-on laser light show going off, giant drummers. It was super cool.
Holy cow.
And then the game was started off with a penalty kick, but here's the best
right,
part.
Right, then you play soccer.
So I put 400 on the money line. 400 on the money line for Liverpool to win the first half.
Mm.
Huh? Bet won 500.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Wow.
And Christine's like, why are you watching someone? She's trying to get me to get the kids ready to go to the park or something. I'm like,
I got money on the line.
Got money on the first half here. Okay, the last sport recap. So the PGA, one of the four majors happened as well. And there was a John Daly, one of my favorite golfers of all time, apparently needs to still ride a golf cart.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Tiger Woods took a shot at it. I'm like, it's a condescending shot about needing to ride a golf cart.
Yeah.
And then John Daly makes a little bit of a shot back. But the more I thought about it, and I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, but I tend to actually agree with Tiger Woods, and I'm sure many other golfers, but you got to be careful the way you say it. It's like, if you can't walk the golf course, then you can't play,
Yeah.
And I get the disability, ADA, disability and all that stuff, but that would be like, someone with a disability saying to the NFL, you're not letting me play because I have a disability.
Right.
That would never happen.
Right. So, I should be able to take a golf cart on first down.
Yeah. I should be allowed to, have trampolines in my shoes.
Sure, absolutely.
To play. I think there's a point there. And if you can't walk the course, then unfortunately you're no longer a professional golfer.
Yeah, maybe, right?
You know what I mean?
It is weird that everyone else walks.
Yeah. And there's been a couple other folks. There was actually like a lawsuit, you know, a fight against it years back. I forget the actual golfer that did it because he made the point that I have a disability and so I can't walk for some reason. But so it came back in the news. But anyway, Brooks Koepka, our man, Brooks Koepka.
Oh, yeah.
Ended up winning, crushed it. Yeah. And this guy is like an assassin. If for those of you listening, hopefully, I can't find a person that doesn't like Brooks Koepka.
Yeah?
Yeah. And even like Tiger Woods is a polarizing human. Mm-hmm. So even when he was winning, major after major after major back in the day, there was still some people that didn't like him because he was kind of a dick at times.
Right.
But this Brooks Koepka guy, I haven't met a person that doesn't like him yet. And if you don't like him, you send us an email because there's nothing not to like about this guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be a superstar. Already is, but he's going to be a superstar going forward. Okay, let's move the chains into a little pop culture and my recent travels. Can't believe it took us this long into this episode to talk about the Game of Thrones finale.
Has everything before now been stalling until this moment?
Yeah, I wanted to start off right after I said, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening.
How about that Game of Thrones?
How about Game of Thrones? So disappointing.
Really?
Dan, and I know you're not a Game of Thrones watcher, but I know your son is, and pretty much everyone else on the planet other than you. But it was so disappointing the way that the last episode, and really the whole season, the whole final season went. But and I got me to thinking, there's a little bit of conspiracy theory about the fact that the GRR, I forget it, why am I blanking on the writer's name?
I almost said Tolkien, but that's
not
right.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is modern day.
Can you
look that up real quick?
Yeah, I will.
The fact that I'm blanking on that is ridiculous. So he's written two more books, and he agreed not to release them until the end of the theatrical version.
George R.R. Martin.
Thank you. Jeez, GRRM. That's what it was. Okay. So he agreed not to release the books. I hope he releases them soon. So I think what happened is this. So Hollywood took over basically the last two seasons because they outkicked the coverage of the books.
Right.
And I feel like they made an agreement almost as if they said, listen, we're going to make the last season so shitty that everyone is going to want
to have those last books to cleanse their palates.
Because most people, many people that got into the HBO series did not read the books.
Right.
Huge, huge amounts of people that didn't read the books. Like Lord of the Rings, I read the books when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Right. And so did, and way more people read Lord of the Rings.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
There was an uptick in that people saw the movie, but I guarantee you way more people read those books than read GRRM's books.
Yeah.
So I went back and bought the first book. I'm starting to read the first book.
Is that right?
Because I'm going to blow through those. It's going to probably take me 5 years, but blow through them in 5 years.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that, but I think they made a deal. And HBO said, listen, we'll make them so shitty.
And we'll tank this for you.
We'll tank this so that
you give us a piece of the books.
Of course. You tell me that there's not an interaction. There's got to be happening.
I'm not saying that happened, but
there's a possibility.
Totally.
So the way that the ending, so Jon Snow ends up killing her out of nowhere. Like, he just stabs her. And then they make this whole, like all of a sudden they all come together. It's like they tried to wrap up so many things like a typical Hollywood thing would do. And then they make, it was just shitty.
Now, were you a fan of Breaking Bad?
Huge fan.
Huge fan of Breaking Bad.
Huge fan of Breaking Bad.
Okay, what did you think about that finale? Because that was
the greatest finale of any show ever. Breaking Bad's finale.
Right.
Greatest ever. So don't tell me that you have to have a shitty finale. That's my point.
You're goddamn right.
Good job.
Thank you, buddy.
Dude, you're on point today.
I'm on point.
Good job.
I'm on point, brother.
Okay, so moving on to another show I'm watching.
No, wait, you think I'm on point?
Yeah.
Now, say my name.
Producer Dan.
Thank you.
Okay, so Billions. You're not watching Billions.
Now, I want to watch that ever since you said there's some sort of S&M plot line. I don't know why. I don't know why that's stuck in my craw or my crop.
Okay, so here's one. It's getting close to the end of the season, but one thing I wanted to point out. So Deontay Wilder was in two episodes ago. He's a heavyweight boxer.
Okay.
And he was actually in the show playing himself because he was getting one of the hedge fund managers to get ready for a charity boxing match. Okay.
Gotcha.
The reason I bring it up though is Deontay Wilder actually made news a week and a half ago. Because he was going into a heavyweight match, which he won in the first round, crushed this dude. But in the lead up, they asked him how he felt about the match, and he literally said, "I want to kill him." And they're like, "I'm sorry, come again?" He goes, "What do you mean? If I kill him, I don't get in trouble. I can kill him in the ring, and I will not be arrested for homicide. I want to kill him." And everyone's
dumbfounded. Yeah, sure, right?
So it's like,
oh my god, dude!
But you know what? I love the honesty.
Well, that must be the mindset. Listen, let's not kid ourselves. Because it's two men duking it out. That's probably the mindset you need to have to win at that level.
But the fact that
he actually said it.
And I'm sure, that's been joked about before, but this guy there was no joking. And I was shocked also that I've never heard that not joked about before.
Right.
I would have thought that he wasn't the first person that said it.
Right.
You'd think by now somebody would be like, oh, no, I'm going to kill him.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm going to
kill him. Anyway, it's a little touchy.
Good for him.
And by the way, I did also read that 90210 is going to make a reboot.
There's no need for that.
There's no need for that. Okay. What else was there that I wanted to hit on? Oh, Uber versus Lyft. So I've talked weeks and weeks and weeks ago remember I said I would take Lyft for the first time when they had their IPO?
Yes.
Not a big fan.
Oh.
I am definitely an Uber loyalist.
That's it.
And considering putting a decent amount of money into their stock, because I don't think it's going to, I think it's going to cut, it's coming down, it's going to come down a little bit, but someone is going to win the race and make a lot of money on the autonomous vehicle aspect. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
So I haven't pulled the trigger yet, but I did want to mention that. And I also read that they're releasing 10 robocabs in Phoenix. So we got to keep our eyes on the pulse of this autonomous thing here. And then one more thing before I get into some of my travels. Did you hear that they finally are really talking about doing a colony on the moon? Have you seen that at all?
A real space colony?
Yes.
No.
Now, do you want to hear some actual statistics about moon landing and moon travel?
Sure.
Because I don't want to be dramatic.
Mm-hmm. You don't?
But I will say this.
Okay.
There are times when I can't sleep because I don't understand why we handle the moon the way we do.
That keeps you up at night.
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
And let me just give you some reasons why.
Yeah, because I'm not following so far.
So between the years 1969 mm-hmm. to 1972, mm-hmm. there was a total of 12 human beings that walked on the moon.
True.
That we know.
True.
Okay, you can forget the conspiracy theories.
Sure.
12 people.
Yes.
In the last 47 years, Dan, mm-hmm. zero people have walked on the moon. And
that's true.
I simply ask you this.
Yes.
Why?
Right. Why were our asses on fire from 69 to 72? And why? Is it all the economy? There's no way. We feel like we beat the Russians, and then that was that.
And so then,
wash your hands.
So then, the thing that bothers me is that, and then you've heard plenty about Mars.
Sure,
there's movies
especially
about
recently,
it.
Recently, yeah.
We finally got a rover cruising around Mars that's been there for at least a couple months, or maybe even a year, for all I know. But the first celestial planetary object that's the closest that we can legitimately start. We could have already had a hotel on the moon by now.
Well, yeah, because 1972 was a long effing time ago.
Like the chances of a human in our lifetime actually getting to Mars is slim to none.
Yeah.
If we would have focused more since 1972, we literally could have already had a hotel on the moon.
Sure.
And now I ask you this. If you have a lot of money, Dan.
Okay.
Where it's always about doing something that no one else has done.
Okay, sure.
There's only 12 people in the history of mankind that have walked on the moon.
That's a short list.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind making it a baker's dozen, right?
Right.
I'd get up there, hop around.
If I didn't have a wife and kids and they said, you got to give me everything to go to the moon, I would do it. Because think about the ability to look back at Earth.
Oh, it'd be crazy.
It would change so many things.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the level of just overall feeling that those 12 individuals have?
No.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, no, literally no.
Yeah. So, and we bought Brooklyn a telescope for her birthday because she's like starting to get into space and you know, all that stuff. So I've been setting it up and looking at the moon. So it's like hitting me even more. Like, I'm like, you know, man, wouldn't it be great? So, you know, the cost right now, they're already selling. So anyway, it's exciting to me that they're finally talking about it again and that because they've found all these ice caps, the water that's accessible on the moon and XYZ. I'm going to be following it heavily because it's about time. I don't want to get into all the conspiracy theories of why we haven't been to the moon. That's for a whole nother talk show, and I don't want to lose any listeners. But I just thought that was nice to see it in the news, and I'm very excited.
Interesting.
And for $250,000 right now, they're already selling commercial flights into lower orbit.
Really?
Yeah, for $250,000. I'm not buying that. I'm going to wait till
the moon.
$250,000 to get to the moon. Sure. I don't need to be the first one at the hotel.
No, you just want
to
go.
But I promise you, if they have the ability for you to make it commercially to the moon before I die, I will go.
Let me ask you this. How much on your flight to the moon do you think you would cry? Sorry. I shouldn't have said that while you were taking a sip of coffee.
I might.
Think about how much you would cry going to the moon. You can't even fly to Phoenix without,
God, you're right, Dan.
Right?
Oh, my
God. You
got
to prepare yourself for this.
You're so right.
You should start training now to deaden your emotions.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sorry. Anyway, if anyone wants to read a great science fiction novel, it's called The Moon is a Harsh Mistress. Highly recommend it.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Anyway, so went to
No.
Sorry.
You don't have time? So went to a wedding in Napa. Ooh. During Bottle Rock, which is like, geez, as if there can't be enough people in Napa. And a very nice wedding.
No, wait, well done. What's Bottle Rock?
Bottle Rock is basically kicks off summer in Napa.
Oh, gotcha.
But a friend of ours has his wedding at the same time. So I go to rent a car. I didn't want to have to take an Uber all the way back and forth. And I see this little sign that says, ask your sales manager about being happy today. And then it's got a picture of a Tesla. And I thought, okay, hey. And I just literally said, I'd like to be happy.
Yeah.
Could you? And he said, well, okay. Well, and I had already been like making small talk with the two people at the desk. So I get a Tesla for only an extra $50 a day, right?
You know, wow.
And not the little one, like the original one, the P90 or whatever. And I've driven one before, but never for more than 10 minutes, right?
Okay, gotcha.
I really love Teslas.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. There's nothing like it.
My wife doesn't listen to the show, so she's not going to listen to this, but I got it up to 138.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
On the freeway or on a, like, where were you?
Well, I mean, yeah, I wasn't on a dirt road, Dan.
Well, no, but.
It was on the 580 going up to Napa from Oakland. But anyway.
I bet that was easy peasy.
And it felt, right when I got out of the airport. It doesn't really happen as an adult as much anymore, but I remember when I was a kid, like sort of racing cars through the freeway.
Oh yeah.
You know, they would try and beat you. It's like very dangerous and very stupid. But as soon as it was almost like, this is the worst thing that should be happening to me right now. As soon as I get on the freeway, a blacked out, souped up Ford Mustang cruises up.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh, all right, this is
here
perfect.
We go. Right.
Right behind him is a blacked out, souped up Camaro. And then I get in behind them and we go for about, I don't know, 5 or 10 miles, like trading.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
You know, anywhere from, 60 to 120 miles an hour.
Oh, my.
And back and forth. And I was like giving them these guys, both of them had like these cool hats on. They knew each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like the little dorky guy in the Tesla. I'm like, oh, no, that's just rental. Just a rental.
Nice.
But anyway, so. Huge fan of Teslas. They feel like, I felt like you could drive it into a wall, you'd still be okay.
Oh, yeah. And you wouldn't take up any gas doing it.
Exactly. Oh, thank you. That was the last point I wanted to make. One of the key points about renting a Tesla.
Oh, wait a minute.
You don't have to fill it up with gas when you return it.
Oh, my gosh.
Because isn't that one of the most annoying things on the planet when you have a rental car? Because then you have to make that decision. You always forget.
Yes.
So now you're always late.
Yes.
And you say, do I want to pay $9 a gallon?
Right.
Or do I want to pay $4.50?
Right, but to pay $4.50,
you got to go find one.
You're in a crappy neighborhood outside the airport.
Always.
We always fill up on Atlantic Avenue in Jamaica, Queens when we're leaving New York. It is the dodgiest effing gas station in the country.
You would think one of these days you would remember and do it on Long Island.
Yeah, no. It's got to be Jamaica, Queens every time.
Oh, and while I was on that trip, I heard Bill Buckner died. Remember that guy, the Boston Red Sox guy And I was listening to this story. He's well known for like giving up the World Series, but I felt this guy had a great attitude. Everybody thinks he's the, some people give him a hard time, but they still. He couldn't get away from it, like the biggest gaffe ever.
Yeah.
But he seemed like a great guy. He's a Hall of Famer.
Hey.
He had one freaking bad play.
Right.
Just happened to be at the wrong time.
How many years? Well, yeah. Timing is everything.
And then Bart Starr died, an old school quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the first original great quarterbacks of all time.
Oh, that's true.
So rest in peace, Bill and Bart.
Indeed.
Okay. So Brooklyn's Bridge.
Oh, yeah?
Where we cross over the last part of the show. We hope you stick around.
Here.
Because then you're going to know.
Here, let's see if this is good Brooklyn's Bridge music. Are you ready?
Come on, Dan. Bring it.
No, that's not good. It sounds too
ominous,
right?
We're
going
to find something better.
Yeah, that's not good.
So, close your eyes. Deep breath.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to think of a time when you know that you didn't follow your intuition. Okay. Do you have one?
I guess.
Okay, you go first.
Oh, I have to go first?
Yeah.
So many years ago in the 1990s, I would do a lot of stand-up comedy. And every once in a while.
Obviously.
Yeah. Every once in a while.
Thank you very much. Tiff, your waitress.
Every once in a while, we would put a big show together and try to invite, a bunch of agents and stuff like that, So there was more of a pressure situation.
Sure.
And I worked stand-up wise kind of loosey-goosey.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it in my head that I should not do that, that I should write a few jokes, set up punchline.
Mm-hmm.
So I sat down and I wrote these jokes. I was very excited. I was going to actually do jokes, going to prove I could do jokes. And I went on stage and I did those jokes. And those jokes
just sucked.
Nothing.
Really?
Like nothing.
Okay.
Nothing. And so instead of going back to follow my intuition, which is just to be loosey-goosey boy, I instead beat myself up for the next God knows how long about the fact that I can't, quote-unquote, can't write a joke.
Oh, man.
But, and the crazy thing was there was nothing wrong with what I was doing. Like, my intuition was working fine until I, fought it. And then that sucked.
Got it.
Yeah. It's not good.
Well, I imagine it affected your confidence.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So it's not quite following my negative intuition. I have a bunch of terrible stories about not following my intuition, but I will tell a little bit more of an interesting / somewhat positive story, but it's a weird story. I don't think we've told this before. So in my senior year of college, I got introduced to like a head doctor. Okay. That's probably not the formal term, but almost like a mentalist type of guy. Hold on.
Okay.
And the guy that introduced me to him said, I think you'll get something out of this guy. He's done a lot of great work with professional baseball players.
Mm.
Kurt Schilling, an old pitcher, credits this gentleman for turning his career around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, whatever, we're 4-2. I'm playing okay, but I can always play better.
Hey, sure.
I can't imagine this is going to hurt me. So this guy, it was before the Cal game, seventh game of the year, and he starts the week before. He puts me every evening. We would talk, and he would put me through this series of meditation type of program.
Ooh.
Night before the game, and it was definitely different. I was into it, and I was I bought in.
Yeah.
The night before the game, I'm in my hotel room bathroom, pitch black. And he's putting me through the pregame ritual that he did for these major league pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little intense. Like you gotta let go, right? And we're gonna get to the whole point of where the rest of the show of where I'm going with this.
Okay.
So I was letting go and I was listening to him, and then I did it before the game, mm-hmm. and I swear to God, I went out there and the whole game slowed down. I felt like everything had slowed down. And you don't know what I'm talking about, Dan, but other athletes do. Like when you go from the jump of like high school, you know, big time high school football to major college football, the jump is drastic in terms of speed, right?
Yeah.
The jump between major college football and the NFL is not as much as the jump from high school to major college.
Okay.
So, but it's still a jump from a speed standpoint, but the jump is not as drastic. So I walk out there and I'm like, and it was almost like an out of body experience. It really was. It was so weird. And I'll never forget middle of the second quarter. I get hit in my left shoulder. I got a little bit of a stinger and it would have affected me more, but it's like, okay, my left shoulder, like I can barely feel my left side of my neck, but my right hand's still working great. I'm still completing passes the game is still going slower. And this is why the story is either, you know, weird, great, or shitty. Next thing I know, though, I do a 5-step drop, break my leg.
What?
A guy hits my right leg.
Literally break your leg.
Yeah, right guy hits my leg, left guy hits the other side, my right fibula snaps in half. And, you know, my buddy loved Mike Seidman to death. He's like, Corey, I heard your bone break. I heard it snap.
Oh, God.
So now I'm just screaming, screaming, screaming. I went from the game slowing down.
Right, to
the most I'd ever seen it, to grabbing my broken leg.
Yeah.
All right. And I obviously at that particular moment didn't think, oh man, what I just happened was so cool. It like took me, you know, then I had a little bit of anger towards this guy. I mean, obviously he had nothing to do with it, but like out of nowhere, I changed the whole way that I was playing football.
Right.
And obviously again, he has nothing to do with the fact that I broke my leg. So, but my intuition was a little bit at the time was, hey, you know what, maybe I don't need to try and mess with my head.
So you had connected the messing with your head with the getting hurt.
But yeah, of course, inaccurately, obviously.
Sure.
Right? It's just a terrible play.
Right.
And, you know, shit happens. But then in my mind, I was like, you know what? Because I did have a feeling when I first started talking to him after the first time, I thought, you know what? You know what, bro? I'll talk to you later. Like, I'm cool right now. Like, this is a little bit too much.
Let's not fix it if it ain't
so it's
broken.
Not exactly like that, but it's similar, right?
Yeah.
And so then I'm sitting there screaming and yelling, literally tears of pain and shock. And then, the camera's on me, all that stuff, national TV. And that was the end of my college football career. So,
wow.
But we're bridging again into what I did the other day was I get these notes from the universe. I think we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Every morning I get an email that says, you know,
right.
From the universe.
Right.
Moon, universe, you get it.
Sure.
And there was a piece where it said, it talked about, click on this from so-and-so and give them $1,000. No, I'm just kidding. It's like, click on this from, I forget her name, but it was talking about intuition. And the underline said, you know, acting on intuition in, quote, little ways will get you more practice, you know, for the bigger intuitions and bigger feelings. So I click on this. It's like 6 a.m. Christine was out of town. I'm riding the Peloton and I'm listening to this woman's podcast. And she starts starts lowering her voice, almost like you're going to meditate. And I was having flashbacks of what the guy was doing to me back in the day, right?
Really? Okay.
But I was like, okay, fight through this, right? Like you're going to just focus on growing as a human. And there's no reason that feeling better is not going to be better for me, right?
Sure.
So she starts talking about, you know, following your intuition and don't be afraid to practice your intuitions because that will make you more efficient in following your intuitions because it is a learned experience and you have to practice it. And because when you do, you'll notice that there's a tremendous increase in your quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like a hotel room. It doesn't feel good. The vibes are not there. Leave. I have never had a time when a front desk person would tell me, sorry, we don't have another room for you. She keeps going on. She says, you get an intuition to call someone, call them. I imagine you've had that happen.
Many times. Sure,
I say all this all the time. I got to call my brother. Got to call so-and-so. Got to call the... And I'm like, oh, forget about it. When you get that intuition to call them, do it. All right? Oh, and don't forget to call your parents, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Listen to the person's meaning and not just their words. Scan everything every day like you're a CIA officer. I actually added that part. Mm. You know how a CIA operative...
Yeah. You go into a room and then you're like...
Yeah.
How many people are in here? How many walls? Where's the door? Where's the exit?
Use your intuition.
Yeah.
Guess what song's going to come up next, right? Like, think about which elevator is going to open up, okay? Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking. I remember I had one of my mom's mom was a real wackadoo.
Yeah.
Right? But she tried to get me to meditate as a kid because she was...
Wow. Back then?
Yeah. She was convinced she was talking to lots of people, but my mom's going to listen to this and either.
I had an aunt that did that. Yeah, for her it was called senility. But
exactly. Yeah. So I got introduced to a book when I was a teenager called Talking to Heaven.
Ooh,
have you ever heard of that book?
No,
it's actually an interesting book. It's like a guy that's a medium. Going in and out and talking, like basically talking to heaven and be able to, talk to dead people and everything like that. So, but I didn't get into it, thankfully, but I remember that as well. So that book talked about similar things, about trying to guess what's happening or use your intuition about what's happening. It was some of the similar things that she was saying. I was thinking about back to that book I had read. And that what also brought me to remember, do you remember the book, The Secret?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do. So for some reason, I can remember that cover very vividly. Yes, I don't know why.
So, for those of you that haven't heard of The Secret, you got to look it up really quick. It was a phenomenon in like the mid 2005 ish areas, 2006.
Is that when it was? Yeah.
Yeah. That's when I found out about it. But I remember reading the book, and then there's a movie you can watch back before there was YouTube, right?
Oh.
I think I got the DVD. I watched the DVD, and the DVD is so poorly made. And if you don't remember The Secret, it's basically the concept of that one is just put positive thoughts into the universe, and it will give it back to you.
Nice.
But the concept
was 250 pages to say that.
Right, and in 1999, right? So the things like if you don't want to pay your bills, wish them away, and you'll no longer get bills in the mail.
Are you serious?
I swear to God. So I had just met Christine. And I'm like courting her.
Okay.
And I bring her in and like she comes over one night and I'm like, you gotta watch this show. And I remember trying to like encourage her to do this. Uh-huh. And she was just looking, and the fact that she ended up marrying me is a freaking miracle.
Right.
Because thinking back about how fucking weird she must have thought I was. But I'm connecting.
How early in your courtship are we talking?
First couple months.
No.
Yes. But I knew I wanted to marry her the first day I met her. So like, as far as I was concerned, I was trying to, the best sales job I ever did was not like do the hardcore press right away because I could tell she wasn't into me.
Seriously?
Yeah, of
course. You didn't think it was a...
Oh, I knew. I could tell that she thought there was something going on, but she was definitely did not have the like love at first sight going on.
Interesting.
Guarantee that.
Interesting.
Anyway, so a couple more things she was talking about. So it's like...
Oh, this is the podcast lady.
Yeah, back to the podcast lady. Sorry for my tangent, but hopefully it goes in order. She says, the best thing we can do is give the world our happy heart, and that is contagious to others. It's like, how can you not feel good after you hear
that
line, right?
And that is true, too, right?
And she says, stop resisting the power to follow your heart. And then she says, breathe in deeply with your eyes closed. Until you feel steady and grounded. Follow your joy guides. And when she said follow your joy guides, I was like, really?
Wait a minute. Lost me there. What are my joy guides?
So then she says, follow your joy guides. And then she says a couple more lines. And then I literally, and then it was over. And I like looked down at my watch as I... Like 30 minutes later, I thought to myself, I don't know what the hell she just said, but I feel better.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I actually went back and re-listened to it and jotted down some of those notes.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool.
That's interesting. So, but you don't remember the name of the lady, though?
No, I don't. But I do remember, what's the name of the lady that tries to get rid of clutter? Marie...
Kondo?
Marie Kondo?
Yeah.
So that, she's become even more and more popular. And let me ask you this, Dan.
She's tiny, but she's huge.
So along the lines of intuition is getting rid of clutter. Like, that's her whole kind of concept, right?
Marie Kondo? Yes, absolutely.
If you don't feel good when you hold this thing, get rid of it.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do it. And with three little kids, it is difficult. Holy cow.
Because as soon as one of them's,
I've been filling up bags of stuff and no one even knows I got rid of it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You have to do it when no one's looking, right? I have the same thing here.
Yeah.
No, you can't, like, you have to be alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I started offering $20 per bag to the kid. I said, you fill up this bag.
Like
yeah.
a big garbage bag?
No, not a big one. Just a kitchen garbage bag.
And what kind
bag.
Of stuff did they put in there? That's awesome.
Well, I started telling them that I'm going to take it to charity.
Perfect. Which means I apparently you're not taking it to charity.
Well, I have dropped off plenty of things to Goodwill, but I've thrown a lot out too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, anyway.
Hey, we have a really awesome Goodwill, don't we?
Yeah.
Should we listen, I think it's time we should we
give back more?
No, should we tell everybody something that we haven't actually Okay.
No, but I think if I did drop off some things to Goodwill and for the first time I got a receipt.
Yeah.
And I thought you would have there would be
a process like
a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I'll give them credit for this, cuz that is not the most highly highest functioning, business, right?
No.
And the gentleman, though, I will give him credit. I was like, all I want to do is give me the freaking receipt. I'm done, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, sold me on donating to their disability fund. The way he did it.
Really?
I was almost like I was in a tractor beam scenario. And he's like, do you want to donate to the tractor beam?
Right.
And he's like, I'm like, sure. Where do I do that? He's like, it's the box right over there. And he goes, and just tell me how much you put in. So then the way he said, just tell me how much you want to put in, you're going to put in, because I'll write it down.
Right. Nudge,
was a challenge.
Wink. Oh, is that right?
So I threw a 20 in. And I thought,
wow.
And as I was
they
leaving.
They have up their game, bro.
And as I was leaving, I said to him, you know what, by the way, good job. And he looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, never mind.
No, you just mind-effed me out of $20. And good job.
He had no idea what I was talking about, which makes it even better that he didn't do it on purpose.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because usually they're just like, hey, you want a receipt? And they just scribble on it and hand you a blank receipt.
Yeah, no,
you like,
went through the itemized deal.
I donated
deal.
A computer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I donated a car.
Yeah.
Anyway, so follow your intuition. Try it. See what happens. Get rid of the clutter. It's making me feel better. It might make you feel better. And whoever that Marie Kondo chick is, she's on to something,
right?
So with that, I hope you have a wonderful morning, a great rest of your day, or a fantastic evening. And remember, when you keep a positive attitude at all times, something's always brewing.
Corey Pons is back at quarterback now. Throws in the end zone. Gets it away. Deep down the middle.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.